Hello, and welcome to this live recording from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. So sit back, listen in, and enjoy what God's got to say to you.
Look, what a special, special time this evening. All those who were baptized, congratulations, a really emotional time. Well, we take a look at the miracle of Jesus' baptism. And so, Michael gave you a one-minute rundown on baptism. Let me give you a two-minute rundown, and let's see where we go. But I believe that God speaks through His Word, and there's a challenge for each and every one of us. The passage is Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Last time we saw Jesus, He was a toddler returning from Egypt. For the next 3 decades, we don't know too much about his life. Luke mentions something about the life of Jesus at the age of 12, where he gets lost. And where is he to be found? Well, no other place but the temple. He remains in that carpenter's shop until the time of his commissioning. I wonder what emotions he would have gone through as he deals with these large wooden beams. Perhaps one day he would be sacrificed on these beams. What about that heavy hammer and those large nails? Would he be sacrificed for you and for me on the cross as he handles those tools? The Bible says in Galatians 4:4, when the time had fully come, God sent His Son to redeem those under the law. And so we take up the reading from Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, talking about this amazing miracle, the hand of God present at the commissioning and the baptism of Jesus. Matthew 3, 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. That moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, who I love. With him I am well pleased. John the Baptizer, we also call him John the Baptist. John the Baptizer was a pretty interesting character. He's not the one that invented baptism. The Jews would baptize Gentile converts to Judaism years before that in pools of water called mikvah. M-I-K-V-A-H. And as they baptized them in this water, it symbolized purity and cleansing. And so here comes John the Baptizer and says, I baptize you in water, but there will be someone who will come after me who will baptize you in the Spirit and with fire. And so we read about this, and we read that what took place in Matthew 3 as Jesus is baptized, the Father is pleased with. Because we read, this is my beloved Son with whom I am pleased. That word pleased is in a beautiful Greek word, evdokeo, which means I think well of what has taken place. I approve of it and I think of it as something good. And so if you're sitting here tonight and you've not gone through the waters of baptism, God would be pleased with you if you did. If any reason to be baptized through the waters, it would be because Jesus did, and because of that, his Father was pleased. But I want to examine the baptism of Jesus and learn some important messages for you and for me this evening. Firstly, there's God's message to everyone. God's message to everyone. And what is that message? Well, turn from your sins and follow Jesus, because he is that example that is to be followed. He had no need to turn from his sins. He was the Son of God. He was perfect. He was without sin, the Bible says. But he was baptized for righteousness' sake. The word there for righteousness, the kiosini, it's a noun, it's his position. And so he is baptized because of integrity and virtue, because it's a condition that is acceptable to God. And so Jesus goes through the waters of baptism. Peter preaches later on, and people ask him, "What shall we do?" And Peter replies in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." This message is for everybody to come to faith in Christ and to be baptized. Repent, metanoia is the word there. It says, it's got the idea of changing your mind. You were going one way and you change 180 degrees to go the opposite direction. You come to a realization that you have this abhorrence of sin. I think another word for abhorrence might be this hate for sin. And so you've come to the realization, I don't want to live like this anymore. And each one of these candidates this evening, said that. They came to the realization they didn't want to live like they did anymore. They wanted to change their lives. They repented. They came to the place where they wanted to live a life that was pleasing to God, a life for the better, a life for the better, pleasing to God. After repentance comes baptism. The word vaftizo there, which means immersed, cleansed by dipping, and overwhelming. Overwhelming. And so I want to share just a couple of thoughts, because after Peter preaches, 3,000 people that day turn and want to follow Christ. And so let me talk about a sequence very quickly. And folk, I'm here to apologize firstly. I normally apologize and then say what I want to say. So I apologize vehemently, but I'm an active participant in what I'm about to say. I grew up in the Greek Orthodox Church. After I was baptized as a little infant, they showed me the photos. Little cute little guy, lots of hair, smiling. Beautiful little guy. How the mighty have fallen. Listen. And so we call it a christening. You are christened. You are brought into the church. You get a big, fat gold cross by your godfather and your godmother. And they are sweets. And it's just any excuse for a big fat Greek party. And so you get your name. So this little guy was dunked in the water and oil smeared all over him and you know, come out screaming and shouting apparently. And then I'm a Christian now. Got my name. But folk, the Bible says that the timing of this is pretty important, because it's important. And as Anka shared, she was baptized as a little kid. Now, folk, we don't know when we're baptized as kids, so it's not really our fault. But the sequence is an important one, because it's believer's baptism. As a little baby, you don't know what's being done to you. And so we normally call that a dedication. It's more about the parents who promise and dedicate their kids to God. The parents promise to bring the kid up in the things of God. And so, without offending anybody, infant baptism is kind of not too much on the side of the New Testament. And so the first 300 years of church history, only people who were baptized were really believers. And some churches still baptize infants. And because of the 4th century, the certain denomination, the Catholic Church, made baptism a sacrament, meaning that it was an act through which salvation was bestowed. After Constantine, Christianity becomes the official religion of the Roman Empire, and it becomes a matter of efficiency for priests to take water that had been sacrificed, become holy water, and sprinkled over, including babies. Now, the word vaftizo is an interesting word, the English word baptism, and it's got to do with dipping. It's got to do with dipping, but the timing is important, because it is a believer's baptism. You come to the place of realization through repentance that you're born again, born from above. Yenithi anothen is what John 3:3 says, where Jesus commands you must be born from above. You must have that interaction with God. He comes and he transforms through this process of coming to faith in him. And it's what he does for you and for me. And then the meaning of that word has got to do with being saved, as Michael said earlier, your old life being transformed through the waters. There's nothing holy about this water. It is symbolism. And a crucial understanding of it are three parts. The baptizer, which is God. God is the one that baptizes. The baptizant, these candidates that were baptized. And then another little word, in. What are you baptized in? You're baptized in the things of God. And so you come to the realization. And it's not done in secret. I remember doing a wedding in South Africa, and the couple of years later said to me, "We want you to baptize us in our bath at home. We're a little bit shy." So I said, "Well, that's missing the point." Because it's a public declaration of inner transformation. Public declaration. I stand up here and I tell people that I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of Him. I'm not a secret or closet Christian. I love Him with all that I am. And as I stand publicly, I say, "Lord, before my family, my friends, my church family, I want to follow You. Help me," is what we're saying. "Help me so I can live a life pleasing to Him." And so, don't want to get too much into the words, but it had to do with dipping. But folk, more than dipping, it's kind of putting totally immersed in that substance. And in the second century, somebody used the word baptize or vaftizo, which had to do with pickles. He said, "Listen, I know you love my props. Take the pickle. You put it in boiling water, not just kind of sprinkle it, but immerse it in the boiling water to cleanse it. Take it out, and then put it in the pickles so it can ferment inside here. Immerse it inside there." That's what the word vaftizo means. And so you are immersed in the substance, but you understand what the substance means. And so it's that outward presentation. You're not shy of it, of what's going on deep inside. You've been transformed. It's like a wedding vow. You take your vow, identifying yourself, becoming the two becoming one, spouse, husband and wife, becoming one together, and joining with Christ in a spiritual sense here. And so the question I ask tonight, have you gone through the waters of baptism? If not, why not? Secondly, God's message to the believer. God's message to the believer. So, after you crown Jesus as Lord, He calls us to be baptized. In John 3, verse 16, the Holy Spirit descended on Him like a dove when Jesus came out the water. And so the dove has come to symbolize the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came on Jesus like a dove would come down and flap its wings before it comes to land on a branch or on the ground. And so it is with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Again, I'm not here to pontificate saying that we're right and everybody else is wrong. But the Bible says in Acts 5 that John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The disciples will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 10, when Peter is mentioned in conjunction with Cornelius, a Gentile, being filled with the Spirit, these were well-meaning Christians who would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And some spoke in tongues. Now, folks, let me say it, that we don't have to feel like second-rate Christians because we don't speak in tongues. And so, it's a very sensitive topic, and I won't get into it, but tongues is for listening. It's not for speaking. What do you mean? Yes, when God speaks, we listen. And so, tongues is for listening as God speaks, and He speaks through you and for me and through me. And if you look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, and we can discuss this another time, we realize that it's all given by God's grace. And so when God speaks, we listen. And so, when does the Holy Spirit come down? He comes down when we become born from above. When we become born again, we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And some people don't use the power that is given to those those of us who have the Holy Spirit. It's like a tap that is present in our lives. Some turn it on and others don't turn it on. And I believe that once you become born again and the Holy Spirit dwells within you and you've gone through the waters of baptism, allow God to turn that tap wide open and allow the rivers of joy to flow right through you and receive His power and experience Him. You received it not after the waters of baptism, but you received it when you became a child of God. But this could be a great opportunity for you to say, God, open those floodgates and let that water flow, that water of the Holy Spirit, and may your power be evident in my life. And so we read in Ephesians 5, verse 17, do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery. In other words, don't consume wine, literally, because it will take control of you and your intentions might be to go one way, but it actually leads you the other way. It takes control of you. Ephesians 5, 17, 18, it says, but be filled with the Spirit, present, continuous, and passive. Passive, why? Because it is God who fills us with His Spirit. The word there is plero. One baptism, many fillings. One baptism, many fillings. And so those who are baptized in the Spirit, it's because they've been born from above. Allow that tap to be opened and allow God to use you. And so what happens if you don't really open the tap? You still have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You're still a child of God. You're saved. You're born from above. But you might just be kind of this carnal Christian, if you like, and not really experience the joy of the Lord. God wants us to experience His power. Plero means, you know, to be filled up and satisfied and fully supplied. And that happens when you allow God to turn that tap on and to overflow in your life. To be in Christ, the Bible says in Romans 6:3, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Similarly, in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body. And again in Galatians 3:27, for all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. And so, it's not so important about the when, but have you received the Holy Spirit, and do you know that there is power that is available to you and to me because the Spirit of God dwells within us? We were consumed by Him, and we can have the full substance of who Christ is as we say, God, come and use me. That great preacher, D.L. Moody, preached wonderful sermons, but there were two elderly ladies that were saying to him, Pastor Moody, we're praying for you. What do you mean, praying for me? Pray for those unsaved, Moody would tell them. Don't pray for me. Pastor Moody, we're praying for you. What are you praying for? That you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And once he sat down and they explained, or he inquired about that, and they explained to him what they were praying for. And since that time, He allowed the Holy Spirit to come and influence his life and the way he preached. Because folk, you can know it all in your head, but miss it in your heart. And so God wants His Holy Spirit to dwell within us so we can be overwhelmed by the presence of God. And so God wants to use us by His power. We know Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Dynamis is the word there. Power to do what? To be His witnesses. And folk, it's amazing that a child of God, when they receive the power of God within them, it's hard to shut them up. It's hard to shut them up. Why? Because they're overflowing with the things of God. They're overflowing with the things of God. Romans 1:5. Your faith in Christ leads you inexorably to the obedience of faith among all nations. You tell your story about His glory, about what Christ has done for you and for me. And so it's hard to shut up about Him. Why? Because He's overwhelming. You're full of Him. Sometimes I want to ask the question, what am I full of? Perhaps I ask you the question, what are you full of? And so we need to be full of the things of God. You see, Ephesians 5:17, do not get drunk on wine that leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. What happens when you're filled with the Spirit? You speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. We often quote that verse, all the, you know, you shall receive, and we say, power. But what happens when you receive that power? Sometimes you have to leave that clutch, you know. When you shall receive power, you will be my witnesses. You will be my witnesses. You will tell people the story of your life, how He came and He penetrated your heart and your mind. It's hard to shut somebody up with the Holy Spirit in them. You see. Point number three. God's message to the church, to you and to me. Have the first message to everyone, to repent, follow Jesus, to the individual believer, to be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the message to the church, that great commission that Michael mentioned earlier. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, therefore go and make disciples. Don't really like that little word, go. Bible actually says in the original, while you are going. Borephthendes, while you're going, while you're traveling, while you're on the journey with Jesus, while you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so as God comes and penetrates our hearts and our minds, while we travel on the journey with Him, He wants us to shine for Him and to tell the story of His glory. I love that word glory. It's the Greek word doxa, which means to make famous. And so when you travel, Jesus leaks out in conversation. You know what? This is what He did for me. You know what happened yesterday? You know, God is amazing. And so He leaks out in your life. Why? Because it's about Him. The story that makes Him famous. You rave about Him, is what the Bible actually says. And so the message to the church, to you and to me, is while we're going, to tell our story, to make disciples, to share what God has done for us in our lives. And I think it's important that we keep that as the main thing. And finally, in closing, what's God's message to parents? Because the Father said, this is my Son whom I love, with Him I'm well pleased. That was Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Wasn't the only time God spoke audibly to praise His Son. Remember at the Transfiguration, we read that a bright cloud enveloped them, and the voice from the cloud said, this is my Son whom I love, with Him I'm well pleased. Listen to Him. Parent saying to the child, listen, I'm pleased with my Son. Listen to Him. That was Matthew 17:5. And then again in John 12, verses 28 to 30, just before the cross, we read, Jesus said, Father, glorify Your name. Make Your name famous through me, Father. Then a voice came from heaven, I've glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to Him. Jesus said, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. Parents, and I'm one of them, I think let's take a clue from the most perfect parent in the universe, our Heavenly Father. Let's build our children up. Let's continually build our children up. Let's encourage them. Let's say good things to them and about them. Folk, it's never too late. You say, well, my children are married and I've got grandchildren. Well, wow, what a blessing. You can build those young children, those grandchildren up, and your children. Jesus was 33 years old, first started off his ministry at the age of 30. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Later on, just before the cross, at the age of 33, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. And so constantly the father was building up his son. And he was saying, what my son has done and is doing is a good thing. Building children up. Beautiful Greek word, parakaleo. To come alongside your child and to breathe fresh heart into your child. Folk, the world is ready to tear our children apart. May you and I be found faithful in building our children up, in building resilience and confidence in those little children, but in their sport, in their schoolwork, in their lives. May they know that perhaps the world has abandoned them and there are bullies out there, but my parents love me with all that they have. So there's a message for every single one of us. May we encourage others that we come into contact with, those who are non-believers, to repent. Those who are believers who have not gone through the waters of baptism, may they come to the realization to be baptized. But also to encourage one another that we need to be filled afresh. Like a car can never continue to go without being refueled. May we be refueled by the freshness and fullness of that Holy Spirit. But then, John said, one will come who will baptize you also with fire. With fire. As you sit here tonight, you might say, well, my life is not really 100%. Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've even gone through the waters of baptism. But my life is not 100% in line with what God wants, in line with the Word of God. God wants you and I to be baptized with fire, because fire purifies and cleanses. But you know what? We need to open our hearts up to Him. Say, God, come and purify me. Fill me afresh. Get rid of that dross, that junk that is present. And fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh. Fill me anew so I can live a life that's pleasing to you. There's a message for each and every one of us here. May God be glorified through our lives. May we rave about Him, and may He be made famous through us. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for these faithful Christians who have gone through the waters of baptism. Thank you for their testimonies. Lord, thank you that they publicly declared that they want to glorify your holy name. And so, Lord, be made famous through their lives. Lord, fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit. Lord, and may your fire consume them, Lord, as they live lives pleasing to you. Do the same to us, we pray, Lord. Be exalted in our church, in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk to someone about what you've heard today, then you can contact the team at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church by calling the office during office hours on 9329 1777. Thanks for joining us. We look forward to your company again soon. God bless.